So this morning, I'm going to start our pastor, most of ours pastor, Pastor Jim Boyd. Can you just raise your hand? We're co-teaching this morning, and it's always a humble position for me to come alongside of your wisdom and your posture in the kingdom. And so I'm going to teach for a little bit, and then he's going to come, and we're going to teach this. So we're going to teach on position versus possession. And the word, I asked the Lord, I don't know.
Could have cleaned them, lady. I tried.
It's just butter.
It's not better with butter. Anyways, and so I'm going to start it from one angle, and he is going to complete it in a different angle. And really, you know, as leaders, this is the position versus possession. It's something that whether we're leaders, whether we're parents, whether we are employees, whether we are children, this is a posture of always the position of our heart. But when we're called to be a leader, our position and our possession in the flesh looks different than our position and our possession in the spirit. And how we mature and how we grow in these postures is completely, it looks different as we mature. It also looks different as our position, as we have been equipped to edify the saints or in our jobs, looks different, right? So if you are, when I was a receptionist at the Cancer Treatment Center years ago, looked way different than when I was a director and of the whole financial piece. My position and my posture look different. So it is the same in the spirit. So as a leader, I love this quote. If your actions inspired others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, become more, you are a leader. John Quincy Adams. So we're going to discuss the difference. And so I'm going to break this down, and then we're going to go into it in the spirit. So number one, I believe that you guys have, you know, you've been around my teachings enough that you know that outlines are not, I don't do outlines. I can start there, but then I, you know, it's just so, it's just a guideline. It's just a suggestion. We're going to end up into the position, and Pastor Jim's going to take, I've heard this teaching that he has done and a few times, and it's one of the most powerful teachings on the ultimate position and possession that we are to be in the body of Christ. So mine, I'm going to try to make quicker, more quick and smooth, so he can have a full expression of what he wants to say. But number one, anything that is delegated to me is not mine.
Yep, that's good.
So when I lead, these are just things that I do. I'm not saying it's dogma. I'm not saying it's just how I've led. It's things that I have had to literally grasp on the hem of Jesus's garment and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I feel very inadequate. And as leaders, we should every day be in that position of total reliance that comes from that. I can do nothing, but in you, I can do all things through you, my Christ, who strengthens me. And the joy of the Lord is really that strength. So if I'm not rooted in that place, I cannot have ownership on something that's been handed to me. Now, do we have a spirit of excellence? And do we do it unto the Father? Because the word consecration doesn't mean being just set apart. It means being set unto.
Yeah.
So one of the very first early years, every year Marcy and I go away for a yearly vision casting. The Lord said, take your vice president away and go for a weekend. I'll make this as short as I can. We were praying for the team, strategies for the year, and we got to the end of our first day, and the Lord, I haven't shared this story hardly ever because it's such a private, personal story, and it could be, anyway, it's just very, very dear to my heart. So the Father literally walked into the room. We were in a hotel room, and I was just, we were travailing in prayer, and all of a sudden, in my home, I have this hutch that is standing in my house, and there's some of my old great-grandmother things and, you know, some of my inheritance. And all of a sudden, I was standing right there in the spirit. Like the Lord just took me there. And I was in front of the hutch, and I looked back, and I saw this line. I was crying out my call, my position in the body was calling out for my call to be fulfilled in every area of life. Okay? I was like, if you could use anything, Father, if you could use anything, you could use me, and my position will be right here, and I would lay it down for you. So look to and fro throughout the whole earth, and here am I. Send me, God. And so all of a sudden, I looked up, and I saw this line as far as my eye could see, literally, and it was a waving. And in my spirit, I knew it was generations of evangelists, of preachers and teachers and leaders throughout the ages that were way as far as the eye. And I knew that because I could see time period pieces of clothing that they were wearing. So I could recognize them in my spirit of who they were via prayer. So I knew that there was Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Mary Woodruff Eder. I saw Catherine Coleman because I saw her sleeves. And in this, I saw there was many, many things, but I mean, literally, and the time pieces of clothing, because, you know, Jesus knows I love fashion, so, you know, he had to put that in there. And he was just bringing it up to thee, and there was Sanctioned Love standing. And... And I saw this thing they were holding, and it was being passed from generation to person, and it was the most beautiful, exquisite piece of heavenly decor I had ever seen. I really still cannot describe it. And it was being passed up and passed up and passed up, and some people were like, I don't want this. I this is too much. The price is too, this is too costly. I don't want to hold this. And some people were just like putting fingerprints all over it, and they were just touching it and touching it. And then the next person would hold it correctly for a long time, and the price on them and the cost on them of their life was very significant. And they would gingerly pass it with great tender care to the next generation or to the next person that was supposed to carry it. And all of a sudden it was coming, and I went out to reach for it. And all of a sudden I turned, and I was facing the hutch right here, and it was in the hutch. And I went to reach for it, and Jesus came and went and put white gloves on me. And he said, no flesh will touch my presence. And so that was one of the very big things that we can carry the presence like the ark as leaders, but we are not allowed to touch it. And so you can look at David, and you know, Uzzah was carrying, well, the pole represents the cross of Jesus Christ through the covenant of the ring that went through, and they were carrying the ark, and they were walking. But when Uzzah tripped on accident, his flesh touched the presence, and he died. So when we're given an assignment as a leader, everything we do has to come from a posture of this is not mine, but yours. And that if I have ownership in this, in the wrong motive of my heart, and I start touching it and getting man's fingerprints on my servanthood as a leader, it will be removed like a lampstand. And we are in the day that lampstands are being removed in the body of Christ so quick for something that we would think, but the guy just accidentally tripped. Because holy is his name, and we get to serve an almighty God only. This is not a game. So anything that's delegated to me is not mine. Number two, taking ownership of something that I am asked to lead and taking possession are different things. You will become a person God can use to help people in need only when your eyes get off of yourself and start focusing on those around you. You may know things. You will know a lot of things as a leader. And sometimes the Lord will say, you don't get to be a part of this play in the game. You get to stand on the sideline of everybody else's football field and cheer them on. Yeah. And they won't know your prize. And they won't know what you have done. And they might talk back. They might have an attitude. They might call you names. But you don't get to be in the game sometimes as a leader. You get to celebrate their gift more than yours. And that's the price of not holding something that you birthed out of your own time. You get the privilege of believing in somebody else more than they believe in it themselves. And you get the honor of the death in that posture. Because your eyes are on somebody else for the glory of him and not to the glory of you. Because he is removing all of the famous Hollywood Christianity. Number three, possession in the flesh breeds entitlement. Yeah. Entitlement breeds emotionally driven functioning that shuts down the grace of God to help me lead. It's a big thought, isn't it?
Good.
Emotionally driven functioning that shuts down the grace of God that helps me lead. Being dead to the applause of man sometimes involves weeping between the porch and the altar. So the porch, if you guys don't know, and the altar is really the outer court and the inner court, and it's the place that is the possession place. It's possession. That's where you have to be possessed by him. You can't lead ever. I don't care if you're leading children, which is the next generations, the most it better come out of being possessed.
It's good.
There's a difference of being possessed. This is mine. And I'll get into that. This is mine. You can't touch it. But I have ownership and I just want to complete my tasks with excellence. But you tell me the motive of your heart. If you can't surrender that right now, I'm not giving it back to you.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Everybody can lead from the porch. Very few can lead from the altar. We can all do the works of God from the porch. Being asked to lead is an honor, not a right. I feel like, man, we lead by example. We lead by a price that was paid. Jesus, right? I mean, he, think about 30 years for 3 years of ministry. And people were just nasty to him. And, you know, love has no rights. Love has no rights. We don't have a right to say, I'm not going to do that. Or we don't have a right to say, well, I'm going to do it my own way. I don't care what they say. They'll never know. It's an honor and a privilege to serve in the body of Christ. And the reason why this message seems so difficult or hard, it really isn't. It really is a message because you guys are birthing revival. And if you want to carry fire, everything has to be burned up. By water, fire, wind, just say, blow on me. And the best place to do it is in the secret place. To live a desperate, honored life that says it's not by works. There's an honored position to come to the Father. If you say, get up in the middle of the night, get your butt out of bed and pray. Because if you're asking, let your ask match the requirement of your call. Oh, wow. Leaders in this hour cannot live on yesterday's traditions of man, yesterday's procedures of man, yesterday's of ways of doing things. We have to find a new way of doing things in this hour, and it comes from being at the altar of the Father. Thanks, love. The altar and saying, not my will, but yours be done. Have your way. And I might get up and be gnarly in the morning, but I forgive me, Father, for I know not what I do. There's a difference in leading. We are not in this to play church, to do things. I mean, you guys are revival carriers for the greatest revival the earth has ever seen. I've never seen it in a body. We talk about it all the time over you guys. I've never seen it. And we can get caught up in the doings, but if we do not set time aside as a leader to be an altar crier, bended knee, bloody knee person, and champion people other than ourselves, when we know that we've ached for the same cry since we were babies, you have to cry for someone else's cry more than yours. Okay, so these are just the basic things here. Number six, keeping what I do in its right place will enable me to be effective and grow other leaders up around me.
She said this.
Say that again, Sid.
Keeping what I do in the right place will enable me to be effective and grow other leaders up around me.
Amen.
So I've said that just in a different way. I've already kind of talked about that, but you know, honest communication is such a key. The position and possession. Honest communication is difficult. We've had some gnarly honest communications. But if it is rooted in love that's fierce, I can go to my team and say, I am fierce for you and I love you so much, but this has to go.
Right. Yep.
And I have to love them more than my fear of man. Because it would be easy for me to avoid. It would be easy for me to, and I was the queen. It's all right. And then the Lord was like, if you want what I'm showing you, you better adjust.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good.
And so we cannot pat flesh.
Yeah.
Right.
And we cannot stroke each other in the flesh. Because enabling, we just keep people limited in their position.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Come on.
Good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't be kind and gentle and the fruits of the Spirit. You don't come out because then it's not rooted in love. Right. If you have not gone to the Father and you have not come to the place where you are pulling up from the fiber of your being and saying, I have to know that how to articulate this to that person. Sometimes the Lord will have you say nothing. Sometimes the Lord will have you do nothing. And you will have to watch and see them scab their own knees.
Mm-hmm.
It's so painful. Position. A place where something is located or put. Possession. A state of having, owning, or controlling something. Something seized or held, lay hold of, or acquired. Position. God put it here as a vessel. I use it. It's position. I'm using it. Possession. God put it here. I put my name on it. We have to steward without flesh. A good way that practicing this that we have learned is when we pray. You guys have witnessed when we pray a long time. It's no secret. And it's always the thing we go around and around about. Can we please pray shorter prayers, people? Get to the point, quick, quick, quick. Jesus knows it. No. And we don't do it. It's just, I don't know if we're ever going to do it, but anyway. But we, at the very beginning in the years, we had to check our hearts that somebody may have, now this is like real, right?
Yeah.
We have to check our hearts to say, oh, well, they prayed and I didn't get a chance to pray in the time. I had this word and I didn't get to pray. And we have these things that are real in leadership teams, right?
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, we have these teams that we have these things that it's like, well, that person, or I've come with all my things. What if Jesus completely took this whole thing? And we talked about it this week several times. What if Jesus took all this 9 months, 8 months, 10 months planning, and there was, trust me, you guys were talked about every day. And what if he took it and said, nope, surprise, I'm changing the whole agenda. I'm like, come on, Jesus. Let's see what's in our heart to handle this shift. Could we lay it down?
Yeah.
I mean, we might scuff our feet a little bit going, we do have, and that's okay, I'm not saying, but if we linger and we go into offense, we have an issue.
Yeah. That's right.
Jesus is Jesus, and he's the possessor. And we do it for him. We don't do it because we got this stuff. Even in prayer. He is prayer. He's prayer. Yes. Jesus is prayer. We do it because he told us.
Yeah.
We don't do it because we got something. Oh, I got this in prayer. Really? You got it in prayer? I don't know. But Jesus spoke and we're operating. We're just yielding. We're just like barely knowing what heaven's doing.
Yes.
And we think we have this whole, I got this in prayer and I'm owning it and it's mine and I'm going to do it in the excellency of God. And he's like, well, you're doing it in your flesh. I gave it to you to begin with, but eventually it became a possession. The act of having or taking control. So we are about the Father's business. So I went to go take my car about whatever last service change up to Eugene, and I was driving, and I'm like, oh goody, I get to pray in the Spirit for 6 hours. I'm going to train my spirit to hear in a different way. And so it was 3 hours up, a little shopping at Macy's, and then 3 hours back in the Starbucks. And so I'm like, I'm going to train the language of my spirit to have a broader understanding of a wisdom and a revelation for this time. So I'm like, okay, I'm hooking up with faith, Holy Ghost, and I'm going to slow my tongue down, and I'm going to hear you receive a greater revelation for this hour. So, and then I'm going to turn. Natalie, are you timing me?
Okay. 10 minutes.
Okay.
Wow. You're amazing.
So I said, I stuck to my points and everything. So I saw Jesus, and he was being baptized, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. And he, the Holy Spirit fell on him, and I heard the Father say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And he comes up out of the water, and the dove descends. And then I saw Jesus from there go into the wilderness, and he was tempted, and he came out of the wilderness endued with power. And then he went into the temple, and his disciples was with him. I believe it was the Passover feast. And he went into the temple, and I saw the doves. And I never have noticed this in this scripture. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, "Be about my Father's business. The dove is in the cage. Release the doves." And I was like, whoa. I mean, I was like, wow. And he said, "We have marketed the Holy Ghost, and we have sold them in the outer court, and it is time that they are to release the dove in the outer court for this time and for this hour, that there would be a release of the Holy Spirit. Stop marketing the Holy Ghost. It would be about the Father's business, not your own." And I'm telling you, I was like, I'm driving, and I couldn't even believe. I was like, I've never seen it. So I went home, looked in Leviticus, looked how they were supposed to sacrifice the doves. It was supposed to be pigeons, wasn't supposed to be doves. And he went in, and he had a fierceness in the outer court of the position of the doing. He did not have and he did not do that within the altar, the Holy of Holies. And I've never seen that in scripture. Jesus showed it to me because he was warning and he was challenging. And he said, "I want you to go in and I want you to train to release the dove." And so when you're praying, this is the hour for what Jesus is training the body of Christ to lead in a position of no holding on to things. Stop having strong opinion. Guard your tongue. Guard your thoughts. For out of it flows the issues of life.